Before there was Netflix, there was cable. A look back at television disruptors. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. TV is changing all around us. I mean, who would have ever thought that ESPN, the pillar of cable subscription bundles, would launch a streaming service? But ESPN Plus launched last week for $5 a month, and it's hardly even a thing. Just part of the way streaming and on-demand and mobile and all kinds of tech trends are changing the way we watch television and making cable subscriptions seem like something out of the land of the lost. But it's easy to forget that just a few years ago, the thing that was disrupting the TV industry was actually cable. Amanda Lotz is the author of We Now Disrupt This Broadcast, How Cable Transformed Television and the Internet Revolutionized It All. She told me the United States is literally wired differently than other countries.
In much of the rest of the world, rather than becoming multi-channel by cable, many countries became multi-channel by satellite. And it really gives American cable providers this huge advantage that was largely misunderstood until quite late, as really these robust providers that could easily shift from providing video service to becoming the internet backbone really for most American homes.
Well, and then, of course, we have seen those companies start to acquire their own content. Is that also a scenario that's somewhat unique?
Yes, largely. And I think it's still sort of unclear. So you certainly have that being the case with Comcast. But I think really waiting to see what happens with the AT&T DOJ case, I think is that will be an important turning point, because there really hasn't been widespread ownership, even here in the U.S., of both content and distribution.
What do you think it could mean if there is, for this sort of digital television economy?
Well, I think the other intervening wild card there is net neutrality. And so in a world where you have that kind of vertical integration and no net neutrality, I think it becomes all of a sudden a very difficult place to do business. And I think we very quickly go back to the world that many of us are kind of glad to be leaving, in which these providers really have monopoly control over our lives and don't offer us the options for services that we want, but instead are in this position to really give us no choice in how many channels we want, what kind of internet access we have, its speeds, and how much we have to pay.
And then let's talk a little more about the tech and the distribution. Why do you think, I mean, I know we already had this cable infrastructure, but why do you think satellite didn't disrupt it? Why we evolved to sort of just have this delivery mechanism that we have now?
Well, satellite, when it came in the mid-1990s, it did a really good job of competing with cable as a video service. But it was the issue was the arrival of the internet, and that satellite-delivered internet hasn't yet been really a technological feasibility. I think should that change, then we do start to see a really significantly interesting competitive marketplace if you have something other than just your cable internet provider.
I can't help but sort of draw a parallel to like the music industry that resisted streaming for so long. You know, I used to work for CBS, which resisted digital distribution as long as possible. I mean, could cable companies have played a more dominant role in the streaming economy than they do now?
It's important to remember the complicated position of incumbents, right? They're making good money, and many of these not digital companies continue at this point to be very profitable. And so they just don't have that incentive to embrace change. Regardless of what happens with Netflix profitability, its legacy will really be that it forced change on the incumbent industry that probably would have continued to drag its heels for much longer, because there was just no reason not to.
Amanda Lotz is the author of We Now Disrupt This Broadcast, which is out today. In related news, Netflix reported earnings this week, and it does continue to disrupt everything with more subscribers, more shows, and more money. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. And don't forget, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.